The Fanny Brice Show, starring Fanny Brice as Baby Snooks, Danny Thomas as Jerry Dingle, Hanley Stafford as Daddy, and with music by Carmen Dragon and his orchestra.
Well, it's a clear, crisp morning in Sycamore Terrace, and down the street come the brisk steps of that gay young man in gray, Danny Thomas, in the role of Jerry Dingle, postman.
Good morning, Mrs. Stackpool. Let's see, where's that letter I had for you?
Hello, Jerry. Are you going to read me your latest postcard from Irma?
Oh, this time I can't, Mrs. Stackpool. The postcard was marked personal.
But, Jerry, a postcard can't be personal. Anybody can read it.
Oh, not this postcard. Irma sent it in an envelope. Where's that letter? Smith, 853 East, Dr. Klump, care of Dr. Anderson. Say, Mrs. Stackpool, did you ever hear of Dr. Klump?
Dr. Klump?
Yeah.
Oh, why, he's that famous psychiatrist. Jerry, you ought to let him psychoanalyze you. Probably cost you $100, but you'd be another man.
I'd have to be another man to pay him $100. Where's that letter?
Can't find it, huh?
Well, as a matter of fact, Mrs. Stackpool, I didn't have a letter. I just like to stop by here and talk with you. Hello, Mr. Tremble. How's the drugstore business?
Bah!
What's the matter? A lot of people sick in bed with colds. Business should be great.
Put the packages on the counter.
Oh, hello, Snooksy. You cute?
Hello, Mr. Dingle.
What are you doing here, honey?
Oh, drinking sodas and buying candy.
Huh. Having fun, huh? Want to hear a joke?
Is it funny?
Well, when I ask you a question, you have to say, more money?
All right.
Okay, here we go. Snooks, did you know I just got a raise?
More money?
No, more mail. What's the matter? Don't you think it's funny?
More money?
No, the joke is over. That's all.
Why don't you let the kid alone? She's having a good time. Go on home, Snooks.
Goodbye, Mr. Trumbull. Goodbye, Mr. Dingle.
Bye, Snooksy.
More money, more mail. I like Mr. Dingle. He's so funny.
Yeah, he kills me. Trimble Drugstore. Oh, hello, Mr. Higgins. Yes, yes, Snooks was just here. Cigars? No, she bought ice cream sodas and some candy. What? Well, don't get excited, Mr. Higgins. Calm down. She told... Well, what do you know, Jerry? He hung up. Sounded mighty angry, too.
Looks like trouble at the Higgins house. I better follow Snooks and see.
Snooks? Oh, Snooks? Is that you, dear?
Uh-huh.
Well, don't stand there, darling. Come inside. I'm very glad to see you.
You are?
I certainly am.
You feel all right, Daddy?
Fine. Snooks, it's now 11:15. Since when does it take you an hour and a quarter to go to Tremble's drugstore and back?
Since 10:00.
I see. Oh, by the way, did you bring my cigar?
Your cigar?
Yes. I sent you for them, remember? Where are they?
I dropped them.
Oh, you dropped them? I mean, you dropped them. Well, and where, might I ask, did you drop them? Well, I'm waiting.
Well, I'm thinking.
Then think up a good one. Where did you drop the cigars?
I dropped them up a tree.
Now we're up a tree.
Are we?
Now stop that. How did you happen to be up this tree?
A big rhinoceros chased me.
Oh, how quaint. I never thought we'd see a rhinoceros in Sycamore Terrace.
It was a big surprise to me, too, Daddy.
Tell me more about this rhinoceros.
Well, there was fire and smoke coming out of his mouth.
You saw fire coming out of his mouth?
It was burning like a furnace.
And it smoked?
Yeah. It smoked all your cigars.
A rhinoceros of all animals. What made you pick on a rhinoceros?
He picked on me first.
Snooks, I want the truth.
All right, I picked on him first.
Now, this is the limit, young lady. You've been telling fibs ever since you first learned to speak. Instead of getting better, it gets worse. What I'd like to know is who put all these wild, fantastic ideas in your head?
Who put them in my head?
You heard me.
Well, I was walking down the street, and two big witches...
Ah, there you go again. Do you expect me to believe a story about two witches?
Would you believe it about one witch?
No.
Half a witch?
I don't believe in any kind of witches. And listen, you'd better change your story quickly.
I will. I was walking down the street, and two big dragons jumped at me, and I was just...
Now, go on. Two big dragons jumped at you.
They did?
Snooks! I've had enough of this.
Me too, goodbye.
Stay where you are. Well, it's now or never. I'm determined to cure you of fibbing once and for all. Now, you failed to bring me the cigars, correct?
Correct.
Then what did you do with the dollar I gave you? And remember, I want the truth.
All right.
Well?
Well, a big eel flew right down on me and grabbed it right out of my
ear. No! No! That is the most awful, preposterous...
Oh, that came later.
What came later?
I was chased by a big, awful preposterous.
Oh, stop it. It's the eagle I'm talking about.
Don't you believe in eagles?
Of course I believe in eagles.
Then why are you taking off your belt?
Because I want to swat preposterouses. Well, you're saved by the bell. But only for a moment, Miss Higgins.
Oh, hello, Mr. Higgins. Oh, I see you got a new strap. Showing it to Snooks?
Yeah. Daddy's gonna show me how it works.
Oh.
Jerry, this child of mine is an habitual fibber, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
With the strap.
Oh, Mr. Higgins, that's the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, that's the old-fashioned way.
What would you suggest?
Well,
I'm not talking to you.
There's a big psychiatrist in town.
Oh, don't be silly. Psychiatrist?
Yeah.
Snooks, go wash up and change your clothes.
Ain't you going to thank me for being naughty?
No. I'm taking you to a man who's an expert at this sort of thing. Well, what's the matter now?
I don't want to get spanked by no expert.
Thank you. Just go in there, Jerry. Dr. Klump is using my office while he's here.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Anderson. Nice you'd let me see him.
Come in.
Hello, Dr. Klump.
Aha, a post office complex. No doubt a result of stealing pen holders as a child.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm a postman. This is my uniform.
Oh, sorry. So many people come to me dressed as Napoleon, but they never are.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Oh. Well, Dr. Klump, you see, you're going to see Mr. Higgins and Snooks soon, so I thought I might give you a few hints.
Give me a few hints?
Yeah, you see, I'm a good friend of Snooksy's.
I have no doubt that you're a whiz at playing jacks.
Oh, I don't know. A lot of kids can beat me.
What?
Well, all I wanted to do was tell you how to handle Snooks.
Well, I like that.
I thought you would.
See here, young man. Your impudence is definite evidence of the fact that you don't have a brain in your head.
Yeah, but...
You talk like a moron, and as the saying goes, on you it looks good.
Yeah, but...
I'm busy, so please leave. Goodbye.
Yeah, but... Big shot psychiatrist. What you got that I haven't got? A brain? Well, I got brains I haven't even used yet. Anybody can be a psychiatrist. All you need is a college education. I could have gone to college if I'd have gone to high school. If I'd have gone to grammar school. He says, you talk like a moron. I should have said, so what if I talk like a moron? I gotta talk like one so you can understand me. I should have said, if you think you're so smart, what's so hot about that? No, that wasn't good. I should have said, why don't... Yeah, what's the use? Now I think of it. I could be a psychiatrist. I could be smarter than that. I could be the smartest guy in the world. Hey, that's an idea. If Jimmy Durante can be the nose and Frank Sinatra the voice, I can be Jerry Dingle, the brain. Sure, why not? It's a free country. I'm a citizen.
Hello. Yes, this is the office of Jerry J. Dingle the Brain. Questions answered, problems solved, and thinking sunk. This week, with every question answered, we're giving away free a snappy retort to a cab driver. Yes? Just a moment, please. Mr. Dingle?
Oh, yes, Miss Bentwell.
I have three calls on the switchboard. Professor Einstein wants to know the cube root of 1,331.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. R.Q. wants to know the capital of Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And Leopold Stokowski wants to know the first note of Shostakovich's 7th Symphony.
I see. Well, I'm very busy, but to put the three of them on the phone, I'll answer them all at once.
Go ahead, please.
11, Santiago, and...
Thank you, Mr. Dingle.
Miss Bentwell, I'm very busy. If there are any other calls, put them straight through.
Here's another one.
All right.
Brain Dingle, I just arrived in Hollywood and would like to get a room for tonight. Could you please help me?
Where are you calling from?
A phone booth.
Pleasant dreams. Come in.
Pardon me, Mr. Dingle. You sent for me.
I did? What's your name?
My name is Jerry Dingle.
Well, that sounds familiar. Oh, yes, you're the mailman at Sycamore Terrace. I've been watching you. You've been doing altogether too much walking.
What should I do about it?
Sit down. Now, I've utilized my great brain to devise a method whereby you don't have to do any walking at all.
Really?
Yep. I've crossed pigeons with postage stamps. You paste one on the envelope and it flies right to the person you're sending it to.
Gee, that sounds swell. But what if it's a special delivery letter and has to get there in a hurry?
Oh, I've solved that, too. I've crossed the pigeon with a parrot. So when it gets there, the parrot raps on a door and says, let me in quick. Joe sent me.
Gee, I wish I could be like you, Mr. Dingle.
Oh, you can be, Mr. Dingle. Tell me more about your past.
Well, you see, Mr. Dingle, I've always been a little backwards. Life was one blunder after another, starting with my first day at school.
Jeremiah Dingle, what's your name?
What's my name? Gee, I just had it on the tip of my tongue. I
Jeremiah Dingle, don't you know your own name?
Oh, the name. Well, don't worry, teacher. I got it written down on a piece of paper. Here it is.
Well?
What do you know? I can't read.
For being so stupid, you may stay after school and wash the blackboard.
Well, but teacher, what's the use of washing the blackboard? The more I wash them, the blacker they get. And that's the way it was all through school, and it's been that way ever since. Tell me, Mr. Dingle, will I always be this dumb?
Oh, you can't be so dumb. You came to the smartest man in the world.
But, Mr. Dingle, you don't look like the smartest man in the world. You look like me.
I do? I admit that my hair isn't curly, and I know that my features are plain. I'm not very strong, I have lots of things wrong, but I have the perfect brain.
Don't you believe it?
Who says that?
I'm the smartest man in the world. I can speak in any tongue. When I dine, I know just what the menu means. I can order julienne croutons, la benedict souffle. Can I help it if it always turns out beans? I'm the smartest man in the world. I can figure income tax, and it doesn't cause the slightest mental drop. I can add dependents to the gross times 30 million bucks. It'll come in handy if I find a job. I can figure out a gadget that'll run a plane large enough to hold a troop on. It'll fly 4 years on a gallon of gas. Can anyone spare a coupon? I'm the smartest man in the world. I'm a super genius plus. There is nothing that my brain cannot construe. I'll go down as the most brilliant man the country ever had since Columbus came in 1462. I'm a self-reliant mental giant, very zealous, Einstein's jealous, the very smartest man in the world.
Carmen Dragon with his arrangement of I Know That You Know. And now back to Sycamore Terrace, where Dr. Klump, the eminent psychiatrist, is about to come face to face with a most interesting case. The case of a little girl whose daddy is trying to cure her of lying.
All right, Snooks. This is the doctor's office. Here he is now.
Madam, I wouldn't worry if I were you. As I said, your mental state is merely a manifestation of hypersensitivity sublimated to primeval emotions atrophied by a peak living.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
Did you hear that, Snooks? There's a man who knows what he's talking about.
Well, do you, Daddy?
Quiet.
Ah, you're Mr. Higgins, I suppose.
Yes, how do you do, Dr. Klump?
And you, I presume, are Snooks.
I presume.
Your daddy tells me you're prone to prevaricate.
Yeah, and he says I tell lies, too.
Well, lots of little girls have a tendency toward exaggeration.
Not like this little girl.
Mr. Higgins, if you please, I have my own methods. Now, Snooks, of course you realize that good little boys and girls always tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
When George Washington was a little boy, he chopped down a cherry tree, then ran to his father and said, Popeye did it.
Did Popeye do it?
No.
Then why did he blame it on Popeye?
He didn't blame it on...
Dad said I didn't warn you.
Mr. Higgins, if you please.
Go ahead, she's all yours. But remember, we're here to find out what she did with the dollar bill I gave her.
I'm getting to that. It's possible the child's sense of values are unbalanced.
It's possible.
Not when it comes to money.
Now we shall see. Now look at me, Snooks. I have here two pieces of money.
Yeah, they're pretty.
Exactly. One is silver, the other is paper. Now which do you want?
The silver one.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Wrap it up in the green paper.
Uh-huh. Just as I suspected. Now we're ready to delve into the child's subconscious. Lie down on the couch, Snooks.
Yes, sir.
Make your mind a complete blank.
She's got a good start there. Yes.
Now, my dear, I want you to think back. As far back as you can remember.
Way back?
Way, way, way back.
I'm way back.
How far?
Last Tuesday. Yes.
Certainly you can remember further back than last Tuesday.
How far back can you remember?
Why, I can recall the time when I was a kid.
What do you think I was last Tuesday?
Very well. Last Tuesday it is. Now, did anything of importance happen then?
Yes.
What?
I don't know.
Snooks, you're not cooperating.
Mr. Higgins.
Oh, pardon me. I'm only trying to be helpful.
I don't need any help. Now, let's try again, shall we, Snooks?
Yes, sir.
Now then, just relax and think way back. Are you thinking?
Uh-huh.
How far back?
11 million years ago.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Mr. Higgins.
Pardon.
Eleventy million years ago, you weren't even here. There was nothing here but trees, land, and water.
Were you here?
Of course not.
Then how do you know?
Yep. All right, Snooks. We'll pursue your line of reasoning. Suppose you were here 11 million years ago. What were you doing?
I was waiting in line to get born.
Oh.
Doctor, you're doing fine.
Now, Snooks, I happen to know that long ago there was nothing but swampland here. Big monsters roamed all around.
Well, that's what I tell my daddy.
You do?
Yeah, and he don't believe me.
Look, I brought my daughter here to cure her wild ideas, not to encourage them.
Mr. Higgins, in non-scientific terms, butt out of this. I'm beginning to suspect that her home environment might be responsible for her condition.
There's nothing wrong with her home environment.
We'll soon find out. Snooks, do your parents ever quarrel?
No.
See?
They're too busy fighting.
Just as I thought.
Snooks. Did I ever raise a hand to your mother?
No.
See?
She gets hers up first.
Obviously a case of maladjusted home life.
Keep your nose out of my home life, or I'll maladjust you.
Sock him, Daddy.
You be quiet.
Higgins, I think you're nothing but a big bag of wind.
Oh, do you? Well, how'd you like to step outside?
I'd like nothing better.
Good, he stepped outside. Now, Now, we'll get to the bottom of this in my own old-fashioned way. Now, look, you, and this time I mean business. That dollar I gave you for cigars. You bought candy, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, why didn't you admit it in the first place?
Well, I wanted to surprise you.
Surprise me?
Yeah. Of course, it's your birthday, and I bought you a big box of candy.
You bought a box of candy?
Yeah.
My birthday? Oh, dear. Oh, and I put you through all this torture. My baby.
My daddy.
My sweet little baby.
My sweet little cute little wonderful little sweet
baby. All right, Snopes. Well, tell me, where is my box of candy?
Where is it?
Yes.
Well, I was walking down the street when suddenly a big lion jumped out.
Ah! Snooks, I hope you'll always remember the importance of this day in your life. You've been cured of fibbing.
Yes, Daddy.
A lion jumping at you and taking your candy.
Yeah.
Here's the afternoon mail, Mr. Higgins, and I brought the late paper in, too.
Oh, thanks, Jerry.
Boy, take a look at this special bulletin.
What's it say?
Police and zoo officials are searching for an escaped lion that jumped at a child late this afternoon, snatched a box of candy out of her hand, and...
What?
Well, what do you know?
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.